Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Happy New Year! Hi, I'm Jackie Cation. You're listening to the Dork Forest. It is available on all of the websites, and including iTunes and Stitcher and YouTube. And if you go to dorkforest.com or jackiecation.com, you'll find links to all of it. And then I have another podcast with Lori Kilmartin just about stand-up comedy. But this is the Dork Forest, and it's January 2020, so Happy New Year, and feel free to start donating again. That's right. Donations went off last year, and I don't blame you, but think of me. And PayPal will let you do it monthly if you want, but I understand if you don't want, because monthly is its own commitment. But the people who do it monthly, I said do-do. I totally appreciate that. But there is also going to be new merch. I'm phasing out one of the Dork Forest t-shirts. I think it's the black one. It might be the green one. The green one's almost completely out of stock, so I think it might be the Dork Forest one itself, but feel free to try and order stuff so that I can get those two new shirts on the website, because right now the merch page is a bit crowded, shall we say. By the way, my website is done by Vilmos. You know that. The song that was just sang was composed by Mike Rickberg. He'll sing his version of the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program, and Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio and has been doing it for lo these many years, and I genuinely appreciate that about him so much. The new shirts are going to be a shirt with a bunch of my dad's sayings and a drawing of his face on that Jenny Fine did. And Jenny Fine, of course, was the artist who did the Meat Shield t-shirt, and she also did the art for the Horcrux album and DVD. You can get all of my old merch still at JackieCation.com, and the new merch, feel free to email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and we'll figure it out, is what I'm saying. I'm going to record a new album in 2020, but I don't know where or when. Feel free to come and watch me work on the new hour at JackieCation.com. Has all of my tour dates, and at JackieCation on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. There's also a Dork Forest Ranger page that you can get into. Donations, PayPal, Venmo, do whatever you need to do. But I'm very appreciative of everybody's support over the last 13 years. Let's get into some dorkdoms, shall we? Hey, Jackie Cation here. I'm in my living room, you guys, with Amanda Cohen.
Hello.
Welcome to the program, Amanda Cohen.
Thank you, Jackie Cation. It's an honor to be here.
You are a stand-up comic, and this very week, the week of January 14th when this drops, you'll be at the Comedy Loft in Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln, Nebraska. Downtown, beautiful downtown, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Beautiful. I like Lincoln, actually.
It's nice.
Historically, I have some issues with North Platte, but other than that, Lincoln, Omaha.
Lincoln is
Kearney,
oh yeah,
Columbus.
All yeah, that end, that yeah. Other end is a good end.
It's lovely.
As far as Nebraska's ends go,
that's fine. I mean, I met the 87 people that were dirtbags.
They're all in North Platte.
They might all have and the thing. There's perfectly fine people. You know what? They don't go to see comedy. That's what we discovered that night.
The best people in Lincoln all go to the Comedy Loft.
Right.
Yeah.
The rest of Nebraska was a delight. What? I forgot to get your handle on the Twitter.
My Twitter and my Instagram
yep.
are the same.
Okay, good.
As recommended by Barbara from Flappers. it's Amanda Cohen 27. That's AmandaCohen
27.
27. And the 27 goes back to the Weird Al fandom.
Oh, there you go.
Only my Weird Al fans will get why it's a 27.
And we better get into it if we're ever going to get to Weird Al, because you wanted to talk about our national nightmare.
Our national nightmare. I am proud to say I actually got to work on a project with Ms. Liz Winstead.
Who
is one of our leading goddesses on the subject. Abortion Access Front. It used to be
Lady Parts Justice.
And
I
then
have
a lot
a
of
t-shirt
yes
that says property of no one.
Excellent.
That's what it says. It's one of those property
yep.
T-shirts.
And that's the hard part that we have to convince people of is that it doesn't matter if you're saying it's for the benefit of women. Deciding things for women is not for the benefit of women.
No, because nobody's deciding things for men.
No, there is no law that says you have to have a funeral for each one of the spermatozoa that you may emit on any given moment.
Right.
But they're saying that what's one of the latest laws is that I wanted to talk about the goofy laws, but I can't keep up with them. The most recent one is they want
yesterday,
to...
Yesterday, I think.
Yesterday. They had one that where they want women to have a proper funeral service for every fertilized egg that happens to come out of you one way or another.
Right. And it doesn't make it.
And it doesn't make it. Exactly.
Right. And doesn't gestate into some sort of baby.
Right. Now, at that point, a lot of them, you can't even, like, your doctor could go through your entire...
Well, and are they going to, who's going to pay for the DNA to find out, to make the dad pay for it?
Well, that's, the dad isn't involved. There's no dads involved in abortion. Oh, didn't you know that?
Right.
It's only women. Women who spread their legs when they shouldn't is who they make these laws
for. And then men get to say that they have to take every egg to term.
Yes.
And it's forced, it's forced pregnancy.
Yep.
It's forced childbearing.
And one of my favorites was recently, mm-hmm. they wanted to force doctors to reimplant ectopic pregnancies. That's a pregnancy that gets stuck in the fallopian tube, which if you're not familiar with, imagine that tube slide at the playground and your mm-hmm. kids get stuck in it. That's an ectopic pregnancy.
So except for that, of course, is an actual child.
Yes. Well,
and I do want them to take that kid out of that slide and then let him live his life.
See, the difference is that is possible.
Right.
Reimplanting ectopic pregnancies is literally science fiction, and they wanted to enforce science fiction. They wanted to jail doctors who wouldn't, and it was like 2 months before
Do you know why? It's because I barely know how we get pregnant or don't get pregnant, right? So, how's your understanding?
Okay.
Of the plumbing of women and the plumbing of men.
Well, when two people can
love each other,
can stand
much.
Each other for at least 3 minutes.
I go 7 to 11.
You know,
but I'm an optimist.
But yeah, but these are strangers we're talking
mm-hmm,
about.
Mm-hmm.
When the sperm goes into the vagina, and it hangs out there for a few days, and the egg comes down from the fallopian tube magically into the vicinity of the uterus, and if the happy egg and the happy sperm happen to be there at the same time, which, by the way, can happen at any point during your cycle, which is why the rhythm method is a lie.
Right.
When that happens, one magical sperm happens to get to the egg, then it is fertilized. And when it is fertilized, it begins to split from one cell to two cell, 2 to 4, 4 to 8, and then math. Now, if you're really lucky, that fertilized egg also implants inside the uterus. About half the time,
egg comes out of the fallopian tube into the uterus.
Into the uterus. Where
the sperm comes into the uterus?
Yes.
Via the vaginal cavity past the cervix?
I believe so. I believe the sperm has to go past the cervix.
We're both women.
We're
by
women,
the way.
And
we
this
have
is
the
best.
We have the. This is the. Let me tell you how little we're told. This is okay. So they have to join hands, and it has to lodge itself
in the
side.
It has to implant inside the uterus. Now, if it does not implant
into the side, yeah,
or if there was no sperm to begin with, the uterus lining says, "I'm out of here." And you bleed it out.
Wow.
That's what the
nice
period is.
Nice sound effect.
Thank you.
Amanda
I'm
Cohen.
All about the sound effects. But that is, that if you've
right,
never.
Right. And that is your menstrual cycle.
That is your menstrual cycle.
That is what they commonly refer to as your period.
Your period.
The uterine lining in your uterus has not fertilized, does not have a fertilized egg
or it
attached
might have,
to it.
Not attached to it. It may even have been attached and maybe
and then,
stayed there for a week, you know, weeks
it
or
didn't
a couple
take.
Of weeks. And then it does.
You guys
then it
ever
goes
plant
away.
A garden?
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't take.
Sometimes those seeds do not sprout.
Right.
And
anyway.
It's not that you did anything wrong. It's just that God
Nobody,
didn't want that to
Well, and it
grow.
And it didn't. It doesn't. And so there are many ways to prevent pregnancy.
There are barrier methods, such as condoms, which don't even let the little sperm go in. There was the sponge. Remember the sponge? There was the sponge. That was a barrier method. The cervical cap was a...
The sponge was something, I believe it was on an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's the way
where Elaine loved the sponge.
And they discontinued the sponge. I guess they, I don't know, killed people or something?
Right, but she didn't care.
She didn't care.
She was going to stock up on sponge.
Right.
Because she liked it. Now, they came individually wrapped, if I remember correctly, and you would jam it up your vagina, and then live in hope.
Squish it up, and then it would expand.
Like a cork.
Yes,
and what it was
exactly
supposed to
like
do. And it was soaked in a spermicide.
Yeah.
So spermicide will destroy the sperm before it gets to where it's getting.
Delicious.
And it's all... These are all supposedly somewhere between 97 and 100%. Not 100%, but 99%.
That's why you use two methods. Nothing is 100%.
Nothing is 100%. And then there's IUDs.
IUDs, which are, fun fact, my mom was in an early study for IUDs in the 60s. In fact, she lived in New York City, and when she was invited to be in this trial, she was the only non-brown person in the room. And I know a lot of people have had trouble with IUDs, but my mom...
Swears by them.
Some people swear by them. And in fact, there a day came when she wanted to have a kid, and she had it taken out, and she had me, and then she had it put back in, and then a year or so later, let's have another one. Then she had it taken out, had my brother, had it put back in. Never had a problem. Didn't have the same one put back in, but had another one. But
she's, I like this sort of guys.
I'm gonna need that back.
It's not a retainer. Nobody's soaking it in. It's not reusable.
And this is when they were big. They were like lightning rods. They were monster. Not lightning rods. What are those TV antennas from the 70s?
It was a flux capacitor.
It was a giant, it looks a lot like a flux capacitor. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You could power your house with it.
But how did they work? IUDs.
A combination of things. I think part of it was barrier. I think part of it was some of them were treated with chemicals, which were spermicides. I know that copper is a spermicide, so you'd have copper ones.
They don't spin and sort of clear out your uterine lining.
No, they're not. They're not like little Roto-Rooters. There's no there's no scrubbing involved.
No scrubbing bubbles.
Like those pool cleaners that just bounce around the bottom. They're not like that.
They're not like that.
There's no suction involved.
Right.
And they basically they prevent eggs from being fertilized in some way that is magic. Again, I'm a girl. I don't even know.
Right.
I have one in me. I don't know how it's working. I just know it's magic.
But knows it works. And so it... And how often do they have to be replaced?
The current ones, like every 5 years.
That's pretty great.
It's pretty awesome.
That is pretty great.
Now, I happen to have mine not for birth control reasons, because my understanding is you need a man involved for that. And I don't...
What's happening?
...have a lot of those. But
okay.
I used to have really wicked cramps.
Okay.
Like, wicked.
Oh, so you wanted to control your menstrual cycle.
And I wanted to control my menstrual cycle. And in fact, my gynecologist was associated with a Catholic hospital.
Right.
So the day I went to get it, I'm like, you know, you have to take a pill the day before and, you know, you're all ready to go. And you get there that morning. Then they go, oh, you don't have the form from the church.
The church.
I'm like, what are you kidding? This is literally me and my body here. Why do we?
Right.
And apparently in Illinois at the time, you had to have a special letter.
And you were in your 20s or 30s or more?
More.
Okay. Yeah, you were a grown up lady.
I was a grown up adult lady with my own choices. And, you know, and had 20 years of just, I'd been told I was crazy. I'd been told IBS. I'd been told, you know, literally I had a doctor poke me in the forehead and go, it's in here. And for those of you not seeing this online, I'm poking myself in the forehead. And saying this.
You said forehead.
Yes.
So that's the good news. It's all in your mind.
So I had to get a form from, you know, from my insurance company.
A male celibate priest.
Yes. To sign saying that I understood what I was doing. And then and only then could I get. And I know some women who say, like, getting the IUD, they had cramps as a result. For me, it was like, turned it off like a switch.
Okay.
And I'm like, where has this been for 30 years of my life?
That's the magic of bodies. And it's more obvious with women's bodies because we aren't, there's less study into it, right? And there's also less information being parsed out because they think it's going to make us all into whores.
But there's 40 boner pills.
Well, there's 1,000 boner pills. And then there's, our bodies are kind of like, we don't know how they work. Sperm isn't in the ball sack?
Isn't?
Yeah.
I always thought it was. Where does it come from?
You know, the thing is I'm saying that, and I don't even, I was just told this, and I believed him.
Wait a minute. Who said this? And were they a doctor?
No, they were a man, though. Oh. And so I went with the source, but why would, he doesn't know any more than we do. And so, literally, Rangers of the Dork Forest, by the way, some of them are sciency, and they are shouting at their radios in their cars, going, "Are you shitting me? You don't know what this is." No, we don't.
We really don't, because there's so much shame associated with it.
There is, and it goes back both to for control. Both men and women.
Yes,
and with women, they want to control the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
With men, they're just like, "You get to walk away."
Yes.
You don't have any repercussions unless they're sores.
And yet the flip side of that is you've also got a lot of men who oppose abortion because they think the guy should have a say in it.
Right. And a guy can have a say in every pregnancy.
Yes.
They take part in. All they have to do is they could take part in preventing it,
mm-hmm.
and they could take part in having a dialogue with the person who's going to have to gestate it.
And here's a concept. They could also stick around.
Well, the conversation is that, right? Yeah. The conversation is like, I mean, I've had sex with any number of gentlemen that I have no
any
interest.
Any number? Yeah, that's a big number. I mean, that could be any number.
It feels like a large number.
Yeah. I have to judge you on your number. As we all know, we are right? all based on our numbers.
Yes. Based on our numbers. I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, sometimes I talk about any number and like getting laid and stuff. And I'm like, I would say I have had any number of adult beverages. I would not say I've had any number of adult males in my person.
Well, beverages are fungible. Like, this could be two beverages. One glass could be considered two beverages.
Oh, but I think that I would say that I've probably drank 30,000 beers.
Okay, that's not any number. That's a specific number.
No, but you say any number implies a great number.
Well, a can of beer is a set. Is a specific amount.
A man is also a set amount. That's one dude.
Yeah, some of them are less than zero, though. No.
I mean, that's that one man. But what I'm saying is what you've said.
Yes.
Is that any number of men?
Yes.
Implies that there's a shit ton of men.
Right, but do you count each man one time per time, or is it like one man is all the times with that one man? You see, it's serving size that I'm concerned with.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying but I'm just trying to figure out, like, cause you're saying that how many men you're with, we're all judged with how many men we've been
right.
with.
Right. Which is baloney in case that's not clear. It is. Nobody should be judged by that. That's another thing that goes around online is, I'm on all these, you know, men are crazy type Facebook groups and
Let's unpack that. Okay. Men are crazy, but people are crazy.
Well, yes, but and I'm sure that men have sites where they talk about crazy things that women do. But these are groups where we, you know, share pictures that
and things that have horrible things that have happened.
Right.
They're not safe spaces. They're literally celebratory.
They're safe spaces
dum-dum.
For women to talk about men being stupid. Things like where a recent one is they'll post a photo of like a turkey, you know, where it's all the opening is all hanging skin some man will have tagged that with text about how this is how she looks when she's ready to settle down. Like the idea that more sex changes the nature of your vagina. I know this is a huge thing that a lot of guys believe.
Yeah. Your pussy's too fat. Your pussy's too big. That my dick's not getting the good tingle.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like oh well, you know, they think that when she's young, it's like a little tight thing, and then somehow the labia grows with use.
Well, remember back in the early 2000s, there was a vaginal rejuvenation surgery.
Vagina lasers.
Yeah, it was. You would laser your own vaginal canal.
Well, you wouldn't do your own. It wasn't self-service. You had to have somebody do it for
you. Right, but you would have it done to yourself.
Yes.
By the way, removing all of your nerve endings.
Yes.
You know, those are the good nerve endings,
you want
by the
those.
Way.
You want those. Yeah.
Things that go in my vagina, I want to feel every inch, my friends.
The idea.
And I say, wow.
Wow.
That's a clip. That's a sound bite. How's it going?
Write that down. Yeah, just the idea that excessive use makes it bigger or wider or somehow more hangy downy.
Right. And like the birthing of a child, obviously it expands, but then it also retracts.
It goes back. That's
right. It goes back. And then
God, you know about the husband stitch, that whole thing?
Oh, you get an extra Christ.
Where they
I'm sorry.
No, tell it. It's a belief that, and it's done, it's still done to this day, where when they're sewing your wife up after the birth, and if there's an episiotomy, which is where they cut an extra, they widen you a little bit,
yeah,
make you a little, my hands are doing all the work here and you don't want to see it. but when they're sewing the woman up after that, they sometimes add what is called jokingly as the husband stitch.
Which is an extra stitch on your parts, making it smaller than it was. It's not part that was ripped.
Right.
Yeah.
It only narrows the opening. It doesn't change the nature of the actual vaginal canal.
Right.
So, basically what it does is potentially make sex more painful for women.
Right.
Because it's never about the woman. It is only about, same thing with, I can't wear a condom. It doesn't feel as good. It's like, well, you know what? You are carrying a loaded gun.
Right.
And I don't want to get shot. So
right.
You'll wear a condom and you'll like it.
You'll like
or
it.
You'll go away.
You'll go find someone else.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
I'm not in a long-term position right now. So yeah, you're wearing a condom or it's not happening.
Right.
And some guys are like, well, I'm only,
fair enough. That's fine. Yeah. But the weird thing is it's like, you also, it's better for dudes. You don't know. My vagina is also possibly not as clean as you're going to want it to be. If I'm having sex with a bunch of different dudes, we're all petri dishes.
Yes.
You don't want sores any more than I want sores, and even less than I wanted a baby.
I know. Whoa,
right? Because I come from a very fertile, genetic fertile people. I don't want any part of it. So, but the weird thing is so there's like yesterday, did you hear what Joe Biden said yesterday?
My God,
speaking of what dum-dums?
Freaking keep.
So yesterday he's at Iowa, and he said, and I paraphrase, though I may actually quote, he said, yes, there was a lot of sexism in the 2016 election. Hillary Clinton was the victim of a lot of sexism. She was judged very harshly for being a woman. I'm not going to allow that to happen to me. That quote took a weird twist.
Okay.
That quote took a super weird twist,
okay.
Joe.
Does he identify as a woman? Because you can't rule that out.
This might be the day.
Or
this
he's
might
not,
be the big reveal.
He's not going to judge women who are running against him?
I would love to be able to unpack that.
I
think he's just admitting that she got screwed and he is not going to get screwed. That's what I think he's saying.
What does him getting screwed have to do with sexism?
Oh, nothing. But he's just talking about getting, I mean, the thing is the best case scenario of this is him saying something got used against her that wasn't her fault. Nothing's going to get used against me. And you're like, well, dude,
and
how about your own mouth?
This is
with the talking.
Connected with sexism how?
Well, it isn't. That's what makes him a dum-dum.
Oh, my God.
That's what makes what he said not a weird twist. It's a weird twist.
You know, back in the 70s, there was a comedian named Skip Stevenson, and one of his jokes was, next year, I'm going to vote no.
Oh, right.
The presidential election. We're going to vote no. We deserve 4 years off.
Oh, there you go. What a weirdo.
That was a classic.
That is a classic. I was just talking to Bamford yesterday about our favorite vagina material. Men, back in the lot in the 90s, I heard probably 3 or 4 dudes, and maybe some 80s, but I don't remember them. But there was at least 2 or 3 guys who talked about being gynecologists and would draw a picture. The one I remember the best was a Louisiana comic who literally would mime putting on a spelunking helmet.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then go down into the vagina to find the G spot, and then he'd be.
I remember the G spot. That was a thing in the 90s or the 80s or
whatever. He was scrambling around in some, and he's acting it out as a spelunker in a giant vagina.
Yeah.
And then he parts the vagina.
Yeah.
And he says to the audience, "What are you guys doing in here?" So it is literally one of the dumbest
big vagina jokes. Kippadada had a joke.
Kippadada? Kippadada. I remember that name.
He passed away recently.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did.
We can do his material. Let's do it.
Well, this is from...
By the way, I'm talking to Amanda Cohen, 27, on the IG and the Twitter. Going to be at the Comedy Loft in Nebraska, Lincoln, this weekend.
Indeed.
Go ahead.
He used to do a bit about... he would close with what we now call stock jokes. He would call it jokes to go. Gynecologist talking to a lady... He's going down in there and he says, "My God, you're big. My God, you're big." Well, you didn't have to say it twice. I didn't.
That's a
classic.
Echo.
Yep, the echo joke.
Oh, a lot of that happening.
Yeah, it was a lot of jokes about the size of the inside of a vagina, which, again, apparently women were supposed to be judged by.
Right, and clearly had something to do with.
Yes,
and,
that's exactly.
And
like,
also,
none of this is a choice.
No. Oh,
that's another
Kegels.
Great meme that goes around. Well, that has to do with the strength, not the size. So
okay.
Much, but I'm doing them right now.
Me do one.
That's the joke. Guys saying, "I'm doing them right now." Ha ha ha.
I'm cleaning my oven right now.
Excellent.
Go ahead.
Yeah, good. Great. There's another meme that goes around where it's not even a meme. It's like screen grabbed conversations that people have, like maybe on dating sites or whatever.
Oh, right.
Where guys insist that the woman has to be a virgin because every time she has sex with the one guy, it changes the shape and size of his penis so that it grows to fit her vagina specifically.
Wait, there's a memory foam theory?
There's a memory foam theory about penises that boys have been taught and believe.
Really?
I've seen it on more than one scream grab.
What?
Yes. These are, in fact, scream grabs because you see them in your screen. These screen grabs where they say, you know, what do you mean you had multiple partners? Don't you know you're supposed to preserve it for your one true love on your wedding night so that every time you are with him, he will grow the perfect, and I swear this is the phrase they use, love hammer. Yes.
Ooh.
That is, I've seen it more than once from different people.
That's a lot of guys reading some romance novels, man.
I don't think it's even romance. I think it's some
Oh, it's
weird,
not romantic.
No, but I think it's like some weird, you know, virginity pact material, you know, where they talk about why you have to be a virgin until marriage, because then when you find the true one, having sex with that person allows you to grow into that person, as it were. Yeah.
That's a lot.
There's guys who believe that. And which is why when you tell them that reimplanting ectopic pregnancies is impossible, their eyes glaze over.
Right. But then I try to explain them Lois McMaster Bujold's idea of the uterine replicator, where it's a can where you put the sperm in the... No.
Oh, no?
It's where you grow a baby in a uterine replicator.
Oh, of course.
That is also science fiction.
That is one of my favorite themes in science fiction, though, is ways to take, you know, both women and men out of the birthing process entirely.
Well,
you hear about creches and vat-grown babies. I love that. Just go over and do
cloning
that.
Cloning
and
this type of thing. And it's interesting because Bujold is like, this is a very freeing thing for women. They can continue to work and they can go on missions and whatever.
And pick up their baby whenever it's done.
Well, pick up their baby at the end of gestation.
Do you have a ticket for this baby?
We're going to keep this one. But then there's discussion of the abuse of if such science existed.
Oh, all science becomes abused eventually.
Right. It would all be.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm willing to take the risk. if women did not have to die in childbirth, if women did not have to manifest, I mean, what it would essentially, they're just the creation of slave farms, right? I mean, if you could gestate, you know, 1,000 girl babies that then you could fuck to death, that would be something, someone evil would do that.
Well, there's also the downloading brain part of science fiction where...
Oh, the cloning.
Well,
you grow a clone and then you swap your brain into
it? Right, but then what happens to you after you swap your brain into the clone? Like, the clone goes off and lives your life, but then what's left of you, that one goes to the farm.
Oh,
and that one becomes the slave.
Now, weirdly... the way the cloning was done in the Bujold universe was you grew a baby of yourself, and then there was a 50% chance that your brain would die in the surgery,
right,
going into the clone. 100% chance that the clone's brain was going to die because they'd throw it away. Your body gets thrown away. The clone's brain gets thrown away.
So are they reimplanting the physical brain?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a whole different thing. I always like the downloading brain concept.
Oh, the brain download.
The brain upload, download, and then, you know, and Black Mirror did a lot of that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. You've not watched all of Black Mirror?
I haven't watched all of anything. Have you seen Axel? Anyway.
Okay, there's... Black Mirror is, you know, different stories like right. Twilight Zone, but there's a few through lines like mm-hmm. the brain uploading and downloading.
Ah, yes.
And in that one, they basically, when they upload your brain, it creates a duplicate. So you still exist, but your whole...
Oh, it's a backup.
Well, it's not necessarily a backup. You can also use it as a slave. You use it to power your house.
Oh, okay.
So it knows how you like your toast.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But that's a whole nother freaking... Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's... But, yeah, the concept of keeping a clone for spare parts.
Right.
I like that. Now, that and that's very Heinlein. That's where you just have a whole...
That is very Heinlein.
You know, it's like, oh, you need a new leg? Well, we're going to get your clone. It'll fit.
Right. Now, what I do also like about the Bujold cloning thing is the politics of that, is that once you have created a clone, that clone is a person. They have their own brain. And what are their rights?
Oh, my God. Okay, is this writer by any chance anti-choice?
No.
Because that's the whole argument, that they present against abortion, is that once it's a fertilized egg, it's a person.
No, but once it's a 16-year-old boy, it's a person.
I would still argue.
How about a 16-year-old girl?
You know, I think...
You're still willing to abort?
I would
16?
I abort up to the age 21? Of 42.
Oh, 42. Interesting.
It depends how they're raised.
Yeah, no, Lois McMaster Bujold is not anti-choice.
Okay.
And she's not, because the thing is the biggest problem with the anti-choice people, the pro-plague, there are a bunch of pro-plague anti-vaxxers too, mm-hmm. right?
Actually, there's not necessarily overlap.
There has been some in my feed. I don't know if they're, but they're people that are gullible. They're naive they're not stupid, but they're fucking dumb.
They're That's interesting distinction. Ignorant, they can be taught, but if they're dumb,
they're dumb as fucking rocks.
Anti-science people. The rash of anti-science happening now.
Did you ever read A Canticle for Leibowitz?
Yes. I read that and it broke my heart.
It's a heartbreaker because it's the nature of the cyclical nature of history.
We're now in the roaring 20s, right? Yeah, those didn't end well.
No.
Those didn't end well for anybody.
Stop saying that. And nobody called them the roaring 20s until after the 20s.
Right. And so, it was only the people who had a good time in the 20s,
yeah.
which were the super wealthy people.
Right,
when
the 1%.
The dancers and the flappers, those weren't the people who ended up in breadlines.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people, again, ignorance of history, doomed to repeat history, ignorance of science, doomed to kill everybody.
Right, except for, I mean, the planet will be fine.
Oh, no, yeah, well, that's Carlin. The planet is fine,
else did it, who's a terrible comic now, and but was a pretty good comic for a while, was Dennis Miller.
I was just going to say, Dennis Miller
He also had an environmental chunk almost exactly the same as Carlin's chunk.
Gee, which one came first?
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait.
But the thing is the I'm okay with premise duplicating.
Yeah.
You know? Though Carlin...
I'm sure Carlin didn't have as many contemporary references as Dennis Miller did.
which is what was the killer for me on him. I was just like, because it was fine when he was just riffing, mm-hmm. and because Patton Oswalt will do that too, where he's just riffing. But he's not... And he'll look for them, but he's not looking for all of them.
Excellent
we don't
point.
Have to have a minute and a half of frickin' Lysistrata, you know. Yeah.
Although he did once refer to silkwooding someone's brakes, and I always thought that was great.
That's funny. That's dark and funny.
I'm a big fan of verbing nouns in general.
Yeah.
But and like silkwood someone's brakes, okay, I like it. But then, you know, when he gets into these long political things about, you know, and he just gets... okay, I never saw that movie. I'm done. I'm out. Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, there's books I haven't, there's buildings full of things I don't know, it turns out. And see, much that, of them has to do with the uterus.
That's the difference between you and normal people. Normal and below normal people, they don't know what they don't know. They think right. that what they know is all they need to know.
Right.
And that anything that that does not mesh with what they already know is not worth knowing.
Right.
So there are people who are willfully ignorant about vaccines and willfully ignorant about pregnancy and willfully ignorant about human nature. Because a lot of the anti-choice people just, you know, they say, oh, well, we want this to protect women. But what they really want is, this is a joke from the 70s too, is you could get this at a Spencer's or Kaleidoscope or whatever, little spongy looking pad that you say, it's the birth control pill. Put it between your knees.
Hold
it between your knees. Which, P.S., if you bend over, it doesn't matter. But that's not the point.
Wait a minute.
They were the ones who thought that missionary was the only way to have sex.
Well, and it's all this fake sort of religious business. And, well,
you mean as opposed to the real religious business?
Well, it's true. I mean, I know religious people. And people in genuine religions.
Some of them aren't crazy.
Not just spiritual, because I know crazy spiritual people too. And you're just like, you and your crystal clutcher are a lot for me as well.
Yeah.
But everybody gets to do whatever they want as long as they treat and this is a learned thing for me too, mm-hmm. is to treat people like people.
Yes.
And to treat adults like adults.
Right.
And because I did used to think that I knew everything. It was.
But you grew up.
I grew up, and yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. I woke up with this. I had a teacher. I was in the top 50% of my high school graduating class.
Wow.
Slow down, huh? And I was probably in the top 25%, but I was not in the top 10%,
right.
which was the next demarcation.
Yes.
And one of my teachers said, "You should have been. If you would have worked harder, you would have been." And I said, well, I didn't. But I was in the top 50%, which I suppose anybody could do it. And she goes, no, 50% of the people could not have done it because they didn't. And I was like, okay, well then wasn't in the top 10%. And many times I was, you know, when you're the smartest person in the room as a child.
Once in a rare while.
Back in the day. You were, you know, that's what I was. I felt like I was the smartest person in the room, but it was also very certain I couldn't possibly be, right? So I would, a topic would come up.
Mm-hmm.
I would say someone had made an error. I would correct them.
Mm-hmm. They love that.
In a sort of a bossy kind of sneering kind of way. I go, no, that's not how the Constitution works. And then I would cite chapter and verse, right?
Oh, wow.
And it was not always entirely accurate, but it was pretty close, right? And I had a teacher in 11th grade. I think she was just one of the teachers said to me, you have to stop it. The way you put it hurts people's feelings. Some people don't know as much as you know, mm-hmm. and you're not putting it in a way that will make them want to learn more or not feel like idiots. So try to figure out a way to talk to people where you're not sneering at them. And I was like, no, they get it. They just forgot. And she's like,
no, they don't want to
hear
it.
They don't know it.
Yeah.
And you are being mean. Stop it. And so I had to learn how to tell people that they were being wrong or to correct people. Because sometimes
you had to learn diplomacy.
Well, and real people, there are plenty of smart people who do remember. Once you go, do you remember the thing? They say, right.
Oh, that's
vaguely.
Right. Yeah, Mars is the fourth planet, not the second.
Exactly. Okay. Right. Yeah. It's that type of thing, and it was something that I appreciated her teaching me at the time, because I can be super didactic and just not as empathy is a learned skill.
Yeah, but now we're in the age of Facebook, where you just correct people straight up.
Right.
And I'm the worst at that. I will correct people all over the place on Facebook, you know, where I don't have to look them in the eye.
You don't have to look them in the eye.
But they're wrong.
And they're wrong.
They're
you
wrong.
You can say, you were wrong, and then put the article
Yes, and, you can. Here's a link to why you're wrong. Right. And they hate that too.
They don't like that
they
either.
They really don't like
but
that.
But the thing is the... And some people do that, and the links that they send are not credible sources.
Well, that's the other thing is, yeah. So is, you can always find a link to support your
perspective.
Perspective, yeah.
Because the internet is vast.
Yes.
So.
But yes. So as far as telling people what you think they should know, mm-hmm. This is a thing we encounter, to bring it back.
Yeah, please.
At women's health centers. The
right.
Short form is clinic. They're not all clinics, but at clinics, when we are escorting. This is a thing I do as a volunteer, is we help women get past screaming protesters.
Right.
And the protesters, honestly, in their heart, think they're telling women things that are correct, things that the women don't know somehow, and things that they think are more important than the woman herself.
Right.
And it gets very ugly because here's the thing. Women who are pregnant don't need to be told what
that
happened. That they're pregnant or what it means or what's inside them.
Are they yelling at people that aren't pregnant too?
They yell at every single person
who
going,
walks in to get a pap smear or just a mammogram or even any kind of women's health.
Right. To get a follow-up on a pregnancy, you know, that they want to keep.
Right.
These places, and it's not just Planned Parenthood. There's a million other places that do this. And
less and less.
Well, you're right. There's about 1,000. I shouldn't even say, which is another thing. This is, you know, going back to the crazy laws is in the early 2000s, we had this rash of things called trap laws, which is where they literally targeted reproductive. I should know what TRAP stands for. I'm the worst. Oh. Liz would know.
Liz Winston
but
would
they
know.
They had
She's
these laws
on.
Where yeah. they would say, oh, well, the doorways have to be this wide and the doctors have to be affiliated with a hospital. And
oh, right, right.
None of these things at all were necessary. It is literally safer to get an abortion than it is to have your teeth cleaned. More people die at the dentist
right.
than at clinics. None of that is important to the protesters. They're out there yelling things like,
they're just trying to figure out a way.
Your baby wants to live. Or,
right, right.
Or sometimes if a woman is with a male friend, they'll yell, you know, get your woman out of there. It's like, this is my
right,
sister.
Right.
What do you know?
Yeah.
They come from a place of total ignorance.
Yeah.
And they spread that ignorance as loudly as they can.
Right. Are they paid? Because there has been some talk that there is a sort of an
I think
hourly.
There are some who are paid. They think all the escorts are paid. We're
right.
not paid. We are absolutely volunteers.
Right.
And it's so funny when they talk about how we're getting paid. We're like, did you get a check? I didn't get a check.
And what's the training like? I've never done it. I've thought of it.
The training
several
is
friends who do it.
Don't engage. And it's the hardest
right.
part. It is
right.
the hardest because sometimes you just want to laugh. And when I was escorting in Chicago, we did laugh. We laughed quite a bit. Sometimes if
well,
there weren't
any. That's
the
great thing about abortion as action front.
It's hilarious.
It's because you get to engage.
Yes.
Because you get to be comics and you get to be women and you get to say, who's legislating one hand you jerk off with, dude?
Yeah.
And anyone? Anyone? Yeah. So if you could step away from me, please.
But that's on stand. And I have some material about abortion, which I have to save for special occasions.
Congratulations, those who get to hear it.
You know, it's, I came out last spring and right after a bunch of particularly bad laws, I'm like, okay. And every woman in the room went nuts. All the guys are like, is that a thing? Are they doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they're actually. Well, that's the fascinating part of, because I'm working on this bit about how, you know, we all live in our own fishbowl, so we don't know. Like, all the decent men in my life, with the advent of the internet and iPhones and all these things, they're like, what's happening
oh,
to
yeah.
you every day?
This is why escorts like to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have no idea that there are people screaming at women and all the laws against, you know, keeping disturbing the peace and all that, they just go out the window if
right.
if the local cops happen to side with the antis.
Right.
We call them antis.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do things like have amplifiers, and they'll play recordings of things like babies crying. Oh, heartbeats are the least. Oh, you know, that'd be nice. Heartbeats would be pleasant. Babies crying, children saying, mommy, don't kill me. Mommy, mommy, don't kill. And they will play this loud enough that you can hear it inside the clinic. You can hear it in the waiting room.
Right.
And then there's the whole religious aspect, you know, people who go out there and pray the rosary super loud. Mm-hmm. And here's a fun thing that's happened at a place in near LA that I've volunteered a couple times. Mm-hmm. We have the extreme Catholics who are out there, you know, reciting the rosary, sometimes in Spanish. And then you have the extreme Christianists, mm-hmm. not Christians, Christianists who
weird.
Yeah, that's my definition.
That's not what they call themselves.
No, they think that they are they
the
think they're
Christians.
They are born again Christians and that nobody else is really a Christian.
Evangelicals.
They make evangelicals look like Pop-Tarts. They're really like t-shirts, burn in hell, you know, fear God or die, and banners and the whole thing. And they will scream they've gotten into screaming arguments with the Catholics because they think the Catholics are easy on abortion.
Right.
And one time there, you know, a bunch of the Catholics were, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace. And the Christianists started screaming, Mary's not a God. Mary's not a God. and we as escorts aren't even supposed to laugh here in LA. The escorts here, we are taught to be extremely, whereas in Chicago, we would sing Every Sperm is Sacred. One of my favorite things was to start loudly discussing porn with other escorts.
This is different.
Different
every
culture.
Clinic
different culture.
Will train their escorts differently.
Actually, the clinic is usually not involved in the training. It's usually organizations of escorts.
There's escort organizations.
Right.
Okay.
In Chicago, and specifically, you know, we had a few locations around Chicago, and the rules there were basically, you know, we don't engage, mm-hmm. But we can distract. A lot of it is just talking to the patient as they're walking to the door. It's like, hey, you can ignore those freaks. Oh my gosh, I love your shoes. Where'd you get that hat? That is so cool.
Right.
Hey, good luck.
Yeah.
And you get them to the door and just, you know, kind of
just talk to
lighten it. Just
yeah,
lighten
yeah. Just
it.
Yeah. Just sort of make small talk to sort of talk to them about other things. You're like, look at me.
Yep.
Do you like The Simpsons?
Yeah.
I like The Simpsons.
That T-shirt is so funny. It's like, oh my God, is that pink? Oh, look, we have the same pink today. Yay.
Yay.
Anything to just distract from the craziness,
right.
and to just to diminish them, to diminish the protesters, and kind of remind the woman going in that they don't matter,
right? Because they are adult humans.
Because they're adult humans,
you get to do whatever you want with your body.
And then
the people that are protesting don't seem to take into account that the person in front of them is a person.
All they see is
a pile of goo inside of you,
a baby floating in space that is about to be killed. Which, P.S., isn't. But whenever a woman leaves the clinic, they'll make a little note in their book, sometimes literally a note in their book saying, we saved one. We saved a baby today.
Right.
They think that any woman leaving has made the choice to not for whatever.
Right.
And that's just at the clinics. They harass, you know, they'll harass the providers. Mm-hmm. They will harass people who work in the office there, you know, it's like, like people will get direct mail and direct threats and protests outside their doors, and people have been doxxed, you know, they'll spread mm-hmm. their information. They've been killed. They have, you know, they shoot clinic people.
They
shoot providers.
The yeah.
They shot, Dr. George Tillman in his church. Hello.
Right.
In
right.
his church.
They blow up women's healthcare centers
to save babies. All they see is saving babies. The babies. And again, when we're allowed to laugh, we're like, you know, there's a lot of babies out there, right? And that's the other thing is they promote adoption we'll take care of your baby, we'll pay for everything, and they don't.
Well, and then there's a fake clinic right across
and
the
then,
street.
That's what we call the CPC. Oh my gosh, this is a I should have
fake
my
clinic?
Fake clinic.
Is it a fake clinic across the thing?
There's
because the thing is I went to essentially to help Liz Winstone at a protest at the women's clinic
crisis pregnancy center
in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And I couldn't find it.
Yep.
Because it's just a nondescript.
They don't
doorway.
Advertise. Yeah.
And across the street was a giant pink canopy
yep.
that said
Women's Services here.
Yeah, Women's Services.
Women's Health Center.
Like that. Yeah.
They They're crisis pregnancy centers. They advertise. There's a campaign to get them removed from, say, Facebook when they promote that they do women's health care.
Right. And they give you options in pregnancy, they say, none of which are to terminate that pregnancy.
They will also lie to you. They will say that you are 6 weeks along when you're actually 12 weeks along.
Right.
And then tell you to come back in 3 weeks. And, you know what? It's illegal
now. They'll lie to you about how long.
Yes, they will lie to you about how far along you are.
Why am I surprised? I should not be surprised.
They will lock you in a room and force you to watch, you know, bloody abortion videos and tell you this is what will happen to you and show you photos of women who died from illegal abortions.
Illegal abortions, which will continue to occur if abortion becomes illegal.
That's the thing. There's
some movie coming out with the
so
kid
many,
in...
So many movies.
In Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Did you see... I just saw a trailer for it.
There's
it was
so
just,
many.
Oh, are there?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many stories. I don't remember which one this is, but...
Oh, it's just... It's a fiction. It's a movie with, like, some actress, some famous actress.
Do they have an abortion in the course of the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Movie will not get wide release. They never do. There's a ton of great movies out there.
And it's literally about how these two women they're working poor,
yeah.
Right? So they work at a restaurant and one of them gets pregnant and her cousin also works there. And she's like, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, nothing I can do in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, we'll go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take the bus to New York.
Yep.
And then it's essentially the story of this woman trying to get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And
does it take place in modern day?
Yeah,
or is it,
yeah, it's current.
Yeah.
And because rural Pennsylvania is terrible. I think there might be
rural
one.
Anywhere is terrible.
Rural everywhere is terrible. Even non-rural.
Yeah.
Wisconsin has like two or three women's clinics and then a couple of Planned Parenthoods.
I think it's Louisiana that has one, or Alabama or Mississippi.
Mississippi has one.
It's places with one.
Yeah.
We had a woman who came to the one in Chicago and she was, I think from, I want to say, I forget. She was from nine hour drive away. And she found out at 21 weeks that her fetus had severe spina bifida and would have had no quality of life, maybe a couple of years.
Right.
And they said, well, you know, you can go to this one 9 hours away or that one 9 hours away. And they went, oh, well, we've never been to Chicago. And the whole family packed up the pickup truck and they drove to Chicago, even their dog. And I found this, you know, because one of the parents came out after.
You have to support people in this stuff. And there's so much shame.
There's so many people who don't even have someone to take them.
Right.
Like, we have so many people who would show up, like, in a taxi.
Right.
And they're not allowed to take a taxi home, you know, because they can't. Just... You know, there's not even a support system for that. You know about doulas, right? They help women
through
pregnancy. Well, there are abortion doulas.
Okay.
They help women get through an abortion, you know, every step of the way. And, you know, they'll go in with you and they'll hold your hand and they'll give you a ride home. And it's like it can be a 2-day process. In some states, it's a week-long process because they have
to
send you home to think about it. Like you haven't already thought about it.
Right.
They just... It all comes down to assuming women are dumb.
They're children.
Broodmares for the state. Yeah.
They're it's a pet situation. You're like, you don't get to choose. I had a friend of mine who, when she was 21, she wanted to get her tubes tied.
Yeah, I had a friend who had that. She wanted to get her tubes tied when she was like 30.
And they still wouldn't allow it. They're like, you're going to change your mind. You're going to sue us.
It was like 10 years.
And you're
years.
Like, I will sign all of your papers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you will not, it will not have anything to do with you. It's like, you're going to change your mind. You're going to want kids. And you're like,
You mean with the husband I haven't met yet?
Right.
This man who I haven't met yet is going to control my life?
Right. This partner that supposedly is going to raise these kids with me that
doesn't exist in
my life at this time.
Yeah, that they have more say.
Right.
I had a friend who was begging her doctors for an hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was, you know, as you know, the situation, bleeding extensively for large amounts of time.
Right.
And she begged for an hysterectomy and they said, you might change your mind. And she was like, no, it's not going to happen. And it was 10 years before she found a doctor when she was 40.
Right.
She found a doctor who would do it. And when they took
can get a vasectomy. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But when they took that thing out, it was in no shape. She would never, never would have been able to
take any
bear a child.
Yeah.
Never. And she knew that as an adult human woman.
In her own body.
In
she
her
could
own
feel bo- it.
But that, but they wouldn't let her do it because
right.
someday.
Right. Know. There's this canonization of the process itself.
Yeah.
And it's.
The idea that having babies is women's ultimate goal.
Right. Really, yeah. the only purpose. And
yeah.
there's almost 8 billion people on the planet. I mean, we're not going to die out.
Yeah. No, we're in. Well, we are, but not from lack of births.
Right. It isn't going to be a population problem because we're not having enough babies.
No, it'll be a population problem because of the disappearance of arable land. And then, of course, the water wars.
Well, right. I mean, there's the. People claim life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Food, shelter, and potable water, I
yeah,
think.
Those are pretty high. Yeah, well, yeah. The life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are kind of white people goals.
Right. Well, and they're it's not that they don't, that everyone doesn't deserve them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
everyone should have shelter. They're not the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Well, what is that?
That's the pyramid where it's like, the bottom is like, it's like shelter and then food. And then, shelter,
politics.
Food, water, and yeah, politics. I think the very top is love. Like, it's like, if you get there, great. But everything up until that point.
Right. You're building it. You have to have water. You have to have food.
Right.
And then you have to have shelter.
Yes.
Probably in that order.
Water is first.
Because I think you will die of thirst before you die of hunger.
Yeah. You get 2 weeks without 2 weeks without food, but 3 days without water.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the basic rule.
Wow. So, yeah. I mean, so the thing is so I donate on a semi-regular basis, because whenever Liz reminds me.
Yes.
to essentially an abortion clinic to sort of supplement someone's costs.
What are
good places to...
The National Network of Abortion Funds, it's the NNAF, they specifically use donations to help women get an abortion, get to and from an abortion.
Right, the traffic.
The mechanic.
Yeah.
Trafficking women, if you will.
Maybe okay. I've not said the
Maybe
thing.
Not that word. Yeah.
Or so the transportation.
Yeah, my mom used to be a volunteer with them. She would, you know, basically make phone calls and say, hey, last year you donated this much.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was directly involved with women who needed help. They would call her.
Right, and it was called the National...
The National Network of Abortion Funds. Are you hearing that? What am I hearing? Is that it? Oh, it's a garbage truck. How nice.
Okay. Yes, I live in a...
You live in a dump?
I live in a neighborhood that they pick up garbage for us.
How nice.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I used to have
They'll do the whole thing. They'll pick up garbage.
Yeah.
They'll take it away.
Cool. Do they do recycling too? Because a lot of time they just throw the recycling in with the garbage. Have you seen
they
that?
They might.
They did that in Chicago. It was a big issue.
In Los Angeles, they have different bins and different trucks.
How nice.
So
still all goes to the same place.
We don't know. All I know is they take it from the side of the building I live in.
As long as it's not here. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to feed your Christmas tree to the goats? Because that's a thing people do.
We don't have goats.
You don't have goats?
If I ever get a goat, I'm naming it Goat.
But the
greatest of all time goat! Bam!
Well, that'd be recursive.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a thing. People are like saving their Christmas trees for goats.
For Anyhow. Goats, they have...
Goats who have more rights than women. That kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's where we're at, about 5 minutes left.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
You're right. It flew by.
It will fly by.
She warned me it was going to fly by, and it flew by.
And it will. We'll have to have you back on talking about something far more cheerful.
You know, I have many more cheerful subjects.
The list you gave me was hilarious. I did like post-apocalyptic science fiction, Blade Runner, and why Star Wars isn't science fiction. I'm like,
okay,
those
Star
are all
Wars
the same
is not.
Things. Everyone knows that Star Wars isn't science fiction.
No, a lot of people argue.
No one's argued.
I have argued with people.
No one. Has
I argued with
that
a dude
Star
for like
Wars.
20 minutes in front of people, and someone said, "You should do that as a show." I'm like, "No, it's not funny." It's one of the things I honestly think is not funny is that Star Wars, because so many...
Nobody cares. It matters to me because... But nobody thinks Star Wars is... It's a space western.
It's a space opera, and it's barely even a space opera.
It's just a space... Nobody thinks it's science fiction.
A lot of people
There's no
do.
Science.
Yes, there, a lot of people think that because it has
that.
Robots...
No.
I will find those people and I will send them
email. But the post... I like that you're into post-apocalyptic... I mean, the thing is, if I was a... If I worked as much in the pro-choice movement, I wouldn't read a post-apocalyptic anything. Because as my father says, have you looked around? We live in a dystopian present.
We do.
There's no reason to read any sort of dystopian future stuff.
Well, that's one of the things.
But you love it anyway.
I love it. I mean, it's one of the reasons I love Handmaid's Tale. Like, what would happen if babies stopped being born?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Or children of... You read it? The book is great.
I accidentally read it in the 80s when it was the only thing in English while I was traveling around Europe. Pardon me while I pick that up. I've dropped it. The only thing in English.
I didn't know you could...
Pardon me.
I didn't know you could name drop a country.
I've name dropped an entire decade.
Yeah, wow.
And
I'm from the 80s. Oh, let me pick that up off the ground.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to be in Chicago, I think, the week that you, Amanda Cohen, are going to be in Lincoln, Nebraska.
You're going to be at Zany's.
I think I'm going to be at Zany's this
very same
week.
I asked them to let me open for you, and that didn't happen.
Well, I asked them to let Winter Spears open for me, and
she's also from there. Well, I lived there for 20 years.
They wouldn't let her? No.
No.
And I said, what about, and then I sort of let it go, and I said, hey, Robert Jenkins, do you ever feature at Zany's? He goes, I do. And I said, will you contact Bert and I have nothing to do with it? And he said, let me see if I can get this done. And so I'm hoping, still don't know because I don't want to, I'm not allowed.
No.
I'm just the headliner.
You're just the headliner.
I don't get to pick the show that I want.
Well, a thing they do though at Zany's Old Town, the downtown one?
I'm doing half and half.
Okay, so that's
3 days at Rosemont and 2 days at downtown.
Okay, yeah, apparently they got rid of St. Charles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very sad. A thing they've been doing at the downtown one is having two guys split the feature set, like two local guys each doing 10.
Okay.
So it's probably cheaper.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, so that's a thing they do a lot. And I've been trying to even get one of those.
And oh, one of those
so
spots?
So far, I have not gotten one of those spots.
Oh, because all I'm looking for is, because I am a middle-aged white lady.
Yes.
We're passing for this.
Yes.
Let's mix it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody. Yeah. Just trans, person of color, man, woman, child.
I actually used to get gigs hosting for gay shows because I was the closest thing Pittsburgh had to a gay comic, was a woman.
And of course, that can't possibly be true. Because the thing is all you got to do is find one.
100%. In Pittsburgh, for a long time, when I started out, I was in Pittsburgh. I was the only woman doing comedy in Pittsburgh. And there were no out gay men. And when certain people came to town, they would say...
You were the only one they knew. They were as close as they could get.
I was as close as the funny bone
You were
could
the
get.
Diversity hire.
I was the diversity hire. Yeah, no, I swear. There were guys... Oh, God. Scott Kennedy and... Scott...
Rest in peace, May, buddy.
And,
that's the second...
They're both gone now. They were a married couple, which didn't exist in the 90s.
Which one?
Scott Kennedy and David May...
They were married to each other?
They were married to each other, and they toured as co-headliners. They wanted a gay MC, and I was as close as I could get. Not a lesbian, just want to clarify.
Could have been.
Could have been. Would have saved a lot of effort, but no.
Just the money on condoms. Anyway, that's where... I lived in Provincetown for 3 summers in Massachusetts. If I was going to be gay...
Yeah, that would have been the place.
That's where it would have been one of the safest spaces in the world to come out.
I did a sketch show there once.
Oh, that's fun.
I used to work with a sketch group called Gayco out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I was an understudy and artistic associate. And I got to fill in on a few shows in Provincetown, and it was the funnest.
Super great, super fun place.
Yep.
Amanda Cohen, people, Rangers, you know. You're going to go to AmandaComedy.com, see the full schedule, see if she's coming to your town. This weekend, she's at the Comedy Loft in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Follow her on Twitter and Instagram at AmandaCohen27. And feel free to donate to some abortion rights people
and
healthcare for women. And always remember, they're just like you on the inside. It's all just meat on the inside and brains.
And a lot of water.
And they get to
pick
what they want to do with their lives.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me.
Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?